Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
What amazing truth, even in the book of Colossians, Paul brings the same truth out. People in the book of Colossae are undergoing a difficult time. They're being swept away by all the things of the world. They're being pulled away by false men, false prophets, all sorts of stuff. The one underlying truth that Paul brings to these believers by a form of a letter, epistle, is this. He says, and here it is. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Literally about 6 months after this epistle, the entire region is struck with a catastrophic earthquake. Colossae never rises again from the ruins. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine the church prior to this epistle? They're in such distraught about all. I mean, they're just so torn out of frame. And when they see this earthquake, can you imagine them if there was no epistle? I mean, they had no answer and they had no idea what to do. But God sends a message right on time, helping them to realize that God's in control. Now a catastrophic earthquake hits, and here's the body of Christ, the called out, Brother Kenny, the ecclesia, the bunch that loves the Lord. They're separated unto God, knowing He's in control. Earthquake hits. These people aren't the one that's running for their life. These aren't the people screaming in panic. These are the ones that say, "Hey, we're here to help you. Hey, here's the way. Do you know Christ? Here's some food. Here's some soup."
Amen.
And the folks are scratching their head and going, "Man, what do they have that I don't have?"
Amen.
And it's Christ.
Amen.
Y'all getting this? This is an amazing truth today.
Amen.
It'll help you.
Amen.
There are some calamities coming to our nation, and we must understand that God's in control.
Amen.
There are some heartaches coming, some hardships coming, but the underlying fact is this: God is in control. And no matter what goes on, no matter what happens, it comes to the hand of God. And with that understanding, when the calamity comes, when more difficulties come, the church, the bride, the body of Christ can say, whatever may come down the pike, I don't know. Maybe it's a food shortage. You can say, well, we've been up here growing taters. Here's your, the body of Christ steps in and says, hey, look, and seemingly by truth, unaffected by the circumstances.
Amen.
And that's what God is conforming all of us to do, to be in the image of Christ, unaffected by the circumstances.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Although the outward man perish, isn't that a wonderful truth? The inward man is renewed. Christ, all the sufferings, all the cruel mockings, all the torments on the cross, seemingly unaffected. Unaffected.
Right.
But the inner man was constantly being renewed.
Amen.
I'm doing the will of God. This is what God wants. This is what He wants. What He said.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
And God wants the same for us, to be able to stand in this world when it's all falling apart of its foundations. Our foundation is assured.
Amen.
And it is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that an amazing truth? God is so desperately desiring to expose the foundation on which you've been built upon.
Amen.
I know I've been long this morning. Can I say one more thing? Y'all with me?
Amen.
Okay. I mean, there's nowhere to go. I've been around a little bit. There's nowhere up here to go. So we're okay. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible, the Word of God says, Jesus depicting between a false prophet, someone that does not know God, and someone that is a true disciple that knows Him as Savior. He says, many shall say to Him in that day, Lord, Lord, we have cast out many devils, we have done many marvelous works. And He said, I will say to you, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. And He'll depart from them. And then He goes on and explains what He meant by that in the next few verses in chapter 7. That's what He said. He said, I will liken the man that does not follow His will and obeys Him and follows me to one that is a wise man.
Right.
There's the word again, wisdom, understanding. A wise man that built his house upon a rock. And then he goes on and talks about a foolish man. One that does not obey God, does not do the will of God, does not know God. And he said, this is a foolish man. He built his house upon the sand. Both men built a house. Both men, I'm sure, used the best materials possible.
Right.
Both men made sure the windows were square and the doors were plumb. And both men labored hard.
Right.
Both men go through a storm.
Right.
Both men experience the vehement wind.
Right.
Both men experience the flooding. Both men experience the torrential downpours. One man's house falls flat. The other man's house stands. What God done through the storm was this. Through the storm, God exposes the foundation on which each man built upon.
Amen.
So here's a storm. And what God does to the believer, he's just pulling back the shrubs. He's using the storm to pull back all the stuff and say, look, they've built upon the rock.
Amen.
The one over here that hasn't, Brother Kenny, the same storm exposes that they've built upon the sand.
Right.
And not built upon anything stable.
Right.
And so what they made to ponder on when these times come, it is simply God exposing Christ in us to the world.
Amen.
Isn't that an amazing truth?
Amen.
And what a blessing. I could go on and on about this truth. It has helped me tremendously. And even the Apostle Paul. Y'all only got me for one service. I want to be here all week. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. The Apostle Paul suffered greatly. I'll give you the short version. The Apostle Paul suffered greatly in Ephesus. He underwent suffering, torments, beatings, prisonments. Stayed there for 3 years.
Right.
He could have easily went down the road. He could have said, I think I'll just go down where it's a little bit easier. I think I'll move on down the road where it's a little bit less work. I think I'll just get out of this spot and go somewhere where it's just a little more ease, smoother sailing.
Right.
But he was a man that followed the Spirit of God.
Hey.
The Spirit of God led Paul to Ephesus. He wasn't leaving until the Spirit said to leave.
Hey.
And so he stood there at Ephesus. He went through mental anguish, physical suffering, all sorts of difficulties. Leaves this place, sees a work of God, but also sees a mighty display of suffering and torment. Leaves this place years later. I mean, at the end of his life, he's in a Roman prison cell. Okay, y'all with me? Fast forward several years. Gray hair, wrinkled skin. His body is racked with pain, scars up and down his body from the beatings. This man is in severe torment. And in this Roman prison, he bumps into a man named Onesimus. Onesimus is a runaway slave from the house of Philemon, who Philemon is a citizen of Colossae. Okay? In their conversation, Onesimus is born again and saved by the grace of God. He again relates to Paul about their church and about the gospel which he had heard preached in Colossae, which Paul at this point has never one time stepped foot in Colossae. So he hears about a man whose name is Epaphras. Epaphras was a man who Paul saw saved in Ephesus, who was a citizen of Colossae. Paul goes his way, Epaphras goes his way. Back to Colossae, preaches the gospel. And God does a great work. The church is planted. He goes 12 miles north, preaches in Laodicea. Another church is planted. And now at the end of his days, when he could not understand all the reasons why the suffering, all the reasons why the mental anguish, all the reasons why the torments and the hurt and all the pain and all the
just ridicule and all the mockings and the beatings. And God begins to, a tiny bit, reveal to him some of the unfolding.
Amen.
And he says, while you didn't realize it, I was exposing Christ in you during those suffering times.
Right.
While you was going through the ringer, I was showing to everyone else Jesus on the inside of you.
Amen.
And then when you stood to preach in a weakened state, when you stood to preach and your body was racked with pain, I touched a young man named Ephraim who got born again.
Amen.
I sent him back to his hometown. He preached the gospel, the same message you preached.
Amen.
A church was planted.
Amen.
I sent him on up to Laodicea. Another church was planted.
Amen.
And for the first time, Paul is beginning to see this unfolding, that God is in control.
Amen.
In my sufferings, God has used this in such a great way. And I can imagine the encouragement that he began to feel.
Amen.
You know, if God done this at Ephesus, and just a little of what he showed me, I wonder what he done when I was in Galatia and all the trouble I went through there. I wonder what he done while I was on the shipwrecked island.
Right.
He's probably pondering, I bet those barbarians are out there worshiping God somewhere.
Amen.
And it's an amazing thing to ponder. It goes on and on and on. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. God's in control of the battlefield. And he's greatly doing things far beyond our ability to imagine or think. He is so much in control. It just keeps flowing this morning. I'm sorry, we can't. I make no apology. I just follow the Lord. And so he says here in Ephesians 3, it's what he said. And the prayer of Paul said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Is that a blessing?
Amen.
Even to think that even we today in this stage are getting help from Paul's letters through his time of suffering.
Amen.
God never even peeled that back to him.
Right.
But he will one day.
Amen.
What a blessing. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what you face. Maybe some visitors. I don't even know. Maybe going back to a battle. Maybe going back to home and different things. Just know that God's in control.
Amen.
Knowing that he's working things out. Trust him. Lay with him. Communicate to him.
Amen.
Pray. Ask him to give you spiritual understanding. Ephesians chapter 1, let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened.
Amen.
God, show me this truth, Lord. Help me to see it, God. And my friend, he will.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing to ponder on.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only Son. To make a wretch his treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.
Why should I gain from his reward?